know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On the emerging podcast scene, nitty-gritty NFL owner talk.
You will not believe the list that Ken was able to recite. Plus, we welcome in a new employee. Will he make it past the probationary period?
We welcome him on the show live on the emerging podcast scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Hello, Tone.
Kenny, it's great to be with you. It's our Thursday edition of the podcast. So let's get right to it, man.
Let's just
roll right through it.
All right. Let's do it. What do you want to know?
Okay, so Mitch, I asked him for topics for the podcast today, and he gave us the tragic passing.
As usual.
He had nothing, and then he stalled, and then he was happy that Owen started talking. So it was getting down to the nitty-gritty, and he came up with, hey, Jim Irsay passed away. So
yeah, he wanted to get into.
I thought...
People passing away.
One thing we can do is get to some nitty-gritty Ken Carmen football breakdown.
Okay.
Like only you could do it.
All right, hold on. Let me get my phone off here. All right, what do you want me to... Well, do you have any thoughts of Jim Irsay, or do you just want me to go into this?
Our thoughts on Jim Irsay were basically based on what Brian Hoyer said about him for the time that he had gotten to know him, right?
He was with a lot of teams, though.
He was.
So I forgot that he was with the Colts.
Yes. And then was it Rodney McLeod?
Yeah, that's right. Rodney.
Okay. Rodney talked to us, and he had some positive things to say about him. It was obviously a very, very different setup over there in Indy. I think all these owners are fascinating and how they run their operations, how they run their shops.
I do. We don't openly cheer unless we're in the stock market for any of these companies. There's been a couple companies that people are getting weird online about, but
sure,
you know, like, but when it comes to football teams, baseball, basketball, you know, everything else, we cheer for them and we openly mock. It's a public forum about how they're ran, and usually it's a long form thing. There's charts and graphs, and I know the Browns use a lot of charts and graphs. But there's charts and graphs to say where the success is going to come from. We have a scoreboard every Sunday to figure out where your organization is. And that's what you're judged at. No one cares about how much money you made. Ultimately, I think people would like to know that you treat your employees fine. But
although you'd think paying them millions of dollars is treating them well. But they're...
Well, I'm talking about like everyday employees, not just players. Like some of the other stuff, like it was... Didn't the Kansas City Chiefs finish near the bottom of the owner's votes?
Yes, they did.
And
yes.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of times where I have extensive experience with the Browns and how they treat their players. And these last 2 years, I have been completely in disagreement with what the players have said about the Browns. I really have. But I see it through a different prism. I'm not a player. So I see it through just like, my God, this is opulent. So... I find it fascinating. Making a short thing long, I just find the whole thing fascinating, especially in the NFL.
Well, that brings me
especially old NFL stories about how guys like ran teams, owned teams, Al Davis and how he acquired the Raiders, that whole thing.
Oh yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah. So this brings me to what I wanted to do with you, Ken. Starting in alphabetical order, can you name the owners of every NFL team?
In alphabetical order.
Well, I'll give you the team.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I'm setting you up for success here because you mention owners more than most hosts because you have a genuine curiosity on a bunch of these guys.
Well, he's a football guy.
And you're
so
a football guy.
Know that.
But I think there are some football guys that don't know any of the owners.
That's
they don't
true.
Really care at that level.
Did you get this thought when I asked you a question off air with Mary Kay? And I knew it was too wonky. We wouldn't have enough time. And I thought it would put her in a bad spot. Because my question was, Charles Woodson invested $5 million to get the 0.1%. So how long, how do they pay dividends? How do they...
When's he going to get his money back? Is it on every TV deal every year he'll get a... He'll get a portion of that revenue.
How do they do that? Is it a yearly thing? Is it a quarterly thing? Like, how do they do that? I didn't know.
He gets a suite, right?
Yeah.
Does he get a suite now?
Yeah. You have to.
How many million? He spent $5 million?
Well, yeah. If you spend $5 million, you get a suite.
But he's not an owner, guys.
He's a limited partner.
He's a limited partner. And I don't know if there's a limited partner suite.
There will be in Brook Park. You can guarantee yourself that.
Oh, they're going to have suites from head to toe.
Oh, yeah.
In that place.
It's going to be real sweet.
Will he pay a PSL?
I mean, what do you think a suite?
I think the $5 million kind of took care of that.
I mean, not to get too bogged down, Owen, but just a suite in general for a full season
of
the Cleveland Browns.
A lot of money.
You are well over six figures. Yep. The question is, how high up and close to seven figures are you getting to get one of those suites anyway? I'll tell you, there are a few corner suites that there's like 30 to 40 tickets, and I'm like, this must be $1 million a year. This has to be $1 million a year. Anyway, Arizona Cardinals, Kenny, their owners.
Bidwells.
Yes, the Atlanta Falcons.
That was too quick.
Arthur Blank.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Steve Bisciotti.
You got it. The Buffalo Bills.
Pegula.
Yes.
Terry Pegula.
Daughter is a tennis star. We move to one of the newer owners in the NFL, established in 2018, the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, God. I can see him. I keep wanting to say Jerry Richardson. That's not... Dave Tepper.
Yes, that's right.
Oh,
remember,
gosh,
he is a global hedge fund guy.
This is right after the podcast, or right after the show. This is tough.
One of the great family groups, the Chicago Bears.
The Hollises / McCaskies.
Yes, the Bengals. You're
the
moving
Browns.
Along. Oh, yeah.
The managing partner now is his daughter.
Not until last year. The Browns used to own the Bengals.
Yeah, and the Bengals own the Browns.
Nice.
The Cleveland Browns.
The Haslams.
Dallas Cowboys.
Jerry Jones.
Denver Broncos. Remember, this is...
That is...
This is changed.
The Waltons.
Good. 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 Kenny, I'm impressed so far. Detroit Lions.
The Ford family.
Yes.
Sheila Ford.
Sheila Ford Hamp. The Green Bay Packers, that is not applicable.
The citizens.
The Houston Texans.
Kyle McNair.
You got it. The Indianapolis Colts, as referenced, RIP.
Robert Irsay, now it would be his daughter.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, let's go through the will first. Let's find out what happens there. Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, we will with the Seahawks, or because they're still by the
we'll get to them.
Estate. Of Paul Allen.
Yes.
Alphabetically, they'll be in a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. What was the next
one? The Jaguars.
That is Shad Khan with his son, Tony Khan.
Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs.
That is the Hunt family, Clark Hunt.
The Raiders.
That is Mark Davis.
Kenny is looking at nothing right now. He's got his arms folded. He cannot believe this is working for podcast content.
He looks like Houdini when he was trying to get out of the straitjacket.
I don't know if people find this entertaining, so let's just keep going.
Or Nathan Fielder when he gets out of the claw in front of those kids. I'll explain that at a later time and date. The Los Angeles Chargers. I would not have gotten this one off the top of my head.
Spanos.
Yes, yes.
I was going to say, Kenny has mentioned them 20 times
in
the last
2 years.
I think that's the first one I would not have gotten. The Rams.
Kroenke.
Yes, the Kroenkes. And I know him more from a dispute over Monday Night Raw with Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Over a scheduling conflict. The Miami Dolphins.
That is Stephen M. Ross, who is also the namesake for the Stephen Ross School of Business
of
the University of Michigan.
He is a Michigan man. Of course, Kenny would get that. Minnesota Vikings.
That is Ziggy Wolf.
He is the principal owner.
Former owner was Red McCombs.
McCombs, so, yes.
What is Ziggy short for?
Zygalian.
What
very
is it?
Flawed Zygmunt. Greek mythological character.
That's a good name. I like that name.
I made that up. New England Patriots.
That is Robert Kraft.
How about the Orleans Saints?
I'm going to have a brain fart here at some point.
Well, you know in Canton what they named.
The Benson family. I
correct.
Almost said Georgia Frontier.
It is
that was the Rams.
That was the Rams. That's right. She had the dog.
Yeah.
Didn't she? Was it a poodle?
Yes. Yeah.
The New York
Soda Mart shop, but we don't want to go down that road.
Let's go.
Boy,
that was interesting about her dog would only go up to certain people and not others.
I thought she had two. Or did she? No, she might have had just one.
Was the dog a racist? We moved to the New York Giants.
There was a whole King of the Hill episode about that. The New York Giants are the Maras and the Tishes.
And can you name one of the Mara family members that's in movies?
Kate Mara.
Star and Phil. And then the other one was in the Dragon Tattoo. The lady with the tattoo.
Lucy Liu.
No. The New York Jets.
Was she in that movie?
No, she was in Charlie's Angels.
Oh, Judas Priest. New York Jets is Woody Johnson.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Who, Jeffrey Lurie.
Boy, who had a lurid comment yesterday at the owners' meetings when debating the tush push.
I saw that comment.
Used a term that I learned learned in sex ed class.
Whoa, jeez.
Right. Well, he said it, and he's an owner, and he's a billionaire. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's the Rooney family.
Are the Rooneys technically billionaires?
No,
I don't know. They got to be. I mean, Judas Priest, you get $300 million a year just for owning the thing.
Yeah, how does it work if your money is tied up?
But there's like 18 of them.
Oh, good call.
Because the old man, didn't he have like 8 kids?
Yep.
Yeah.
Rooney family.
The San Francisco 49ers.
That is Jed York.
Can you tell me who it was before that?
That was Mr. Eddie DeBartolo, one of the finest men I've ever been around. I do not care about any riverboats.
Let's go to the Seattle Seahawks.
That is the Paul Allen estate.
Let's move to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe he owns one of the preeminent football organizations in the world.
I keep wanting to say.
Thought they were known to say for Bidwell. Owning donuts.
They're brothers, aren't they?
Yes. Well, the it's a family. The family.
What is it?
How about I give you?
I'm going to die.
The same last
His
name
brother
as a,
Jay is
as
very
a guy
popular.
Who's known for scoopage.
Malcolm Glazer.
Yes.
Yeah. Jeez, yes. Louise. All right.
Either you knew it. It was one of those with the names. You just needed a little push.
Oh, yeah. All you needed was
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will for 1 week tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The answer.
Okay, this one I probably would not have gotten. I wouldn't have gotten. Tennessee Titans.
That is Amy Adams Strunk.
Yeah, that's insane. Why does he know that?
He's a big Strunk head.
Peterlin would not have gotten that. No. I'll tell you that right now. Peterlin would not have gotten that. And he has a national show at times on CBS Sports Radio. Finish it up. Ladies and gentlemen.
The hardest one.
The Washington Commanders as of 2023.
That is the one, Josh Harris.
Yes. And who has he teamed up with in the past to own some professional sports
David
teams?
David Blitzer.
That would be David Blitzer. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Carman, 99%?
I got 31.5 out of 32.
Yeah, I think so. Was that impressive? We've got somebody in the studio today.
Joey's like not to, impressed. Joey doesn't
We
care.
Have some... Joey, come over here. You're not on the microphone. That's one of the weird technicalities of radio. You got to get on a microphone.
Talking to that mic.
Joey, I don't even know your last name. What's your last name, bud?
Korzenowski.
Oh, boy. Good Irish name. Korzenowski.
Joey Kors?
Korzenowski.
You're not on the mic. You got to get back on the mic.
I got to talk on the mic.
That's going to be one of the themes
that
of everything
sounds
we
familiar.
Do here.
You went to Heidelberg?
Yeah.
Huh.
My cousin played there maybe 10 years ago now.
What's your cousin's last name?
Korzenowski.
See, tweet at me.
He 1,000% definitely tweeted.
That's where I knew that name.
Definitely tweeted.
That's where I knew that
the
name.
Flying,
How's your cousin,
the
man?
The Flying Football Division III Korzenowski.
No, I'm serious. His cousin's been busting my balls for the better part of a decade. I love him. I think he's fun.
My cousin's great. He actually just had a baby daughter.
Congratulations.
Less than a year ago, yeah.
Congratulations to your cousin, man. Tell him we all said congratulations from this show.
So Joey's going to be working on video content. He's going to take us into the 21st century.
Until he finds something more lucrative.
Yes,
and
then he'll find a better job,
and
we'll be
okay.
Training somebody else.
That's certainly fine.
So you've been here for 2 days. How's it going so far?
I like it so far. I've got to meet everybody. Everybody's very friendly.
Okay,
pretty cool.
Who has surprised you the most from meeting some of these local media legends, media titans?
Honestly, I would probably say both you and Ken.
Oh, say, come on.
No, I'm being serious. You guys are both. No,
flattery will get you everywhere, young man.
You said no we surprised you. Why?
Oh, I just was just impressed with how friendly you guys were and kind of how welcoming you guys were and everything.
We got to be friendly on the first day.
Yeah,
man.
It's not like I thought you guys were going to be like ass. Or anything, but I mean, I was just.
Whoa! He said,
hey, our first dumping.
This is radio, brother.
He's right at home, Minkya. Okay, so what about? Were you able to meet Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin?
No, I have not got to meet anybody from the later shows yet.
Okay. And you're a listener of the station before this week. You can be honest.
Peterlin's I was a pretty big listener from past few summers I've worked. My dad's a really big listener, though.
Really?
In the mornings. Yeah.
Is he tickled pink that you're going to be embarking on this new media experience with us?
I think he was, yeah. I think he was a little jealous that I got to come in and meet everybody and I, you know, kind of get to work here while he gets to listen.
Third Wednesdays of each month, everybody, if they have a dad, brings him in. We do donuts over there in the lobby. No, it's always a fun thing that we do, fun tradition.
A sack of potatoes.
So overall, what are your career goals? What are you looking for?
So I really wanted to get into sports media in general. I've always wanted to get into play-by-play broadcasting, and I got to do that at Heidelberg, which is part of the reason why I went there. But, yeah, that's kind of the goal, to get into any sort of play-by-play broadcasting, whether it's football, baseball, basketball.
All right, very ambitious. We love that about any of the people we work with, because we've worked with some people we thought were ambitious. And we found out about 1 month in, it was time for Easy Street. It was it was going to be mailing it in from that point forward.
Mailing it in.
Did your professors, were they honest with you? Were your mentors honest with you about this business, how little money it is, how evolving it is? It seems like a lot of people are frustrated right now. We feel like we're success stories, and you've come in undeterred. So do you feel like there's been honesty around every turn?
Honestly, yeah. A lot of my professors, even my parents, just kind of know that getting into sports is never easy. And even the job market in general right now is very tough. I mean, a lot of my roommates and friends from college still don't have jobs. So, I mean, and obviously they're not in sports, but they're in different fields. But, yeah, I mean, in this field specifically, I mean, you know, you just kind of have to know that you have to work your way up.
This is amazing. I could see
how
he passed.
Play-by-play voice?
I could see how he passed the test.
Favorite play-by-play voice of all time, Marv Albert.
Yes!
Do an impression right now. Let's hear your Marv Albert. Everybody has a Marv Albert.
Marv? Can you do Marv, who retired a few years ago?
Hold that mic up to your mouth.
He's one of my favorites. Without a doubt, he got me into basketball I was young.
No, he got me into basketball too, because whenever somebody would hit a three, he'd be, yes!
That's okay.
That would be it. I mean, obviously, not nearly as good as him, but.
All right, do you have any impressions of him in a limo?
I don't think I do.
Judas Priest. I thought you would definitely. Stop it! Don't make that noise! Did you, have you ever gone back on YouTube and went through that? I'm going to ask both of you, you and Joey. Have you ever gone back on YouTube and listened to Marv Albert at all?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he wasn't that great at opens.
You know what? You are 100% right.
Yeah, like recorded, but like when they would go to him, I don't know, maybe if like, because he always called big games, so I wondered if he like struggled with.
Everything's a big game.
Like the sound in his, because you're wearing an IFB, but you got one open, and you're calling a playoff game at the Garden, and it's just loud, and he's like, hello everybody and welcome, and like he almost forgot where he's at. And this is back when he was in his prime, so it's not like, well, Ken at the end. No,
he's working every night.
You go back to YouTube from like 19 clips that the people post from like 1989, like, yeah, he's right there in his element. And I would just always like, oh yeah, he's never really punched through.
Okay,
like,
this is so funny you say that, because I was thinking about this. I got to do a high school regional final this year for boys down in Canton, the game you went to. What a thriller. The game went right down to the end, whatever. And I went back and looked at my open, and it was so overmodulated because I did the rookie mistake of, all right, we're going to test your mic now. All right, testing, 1, 2, 3. And then when you get on the mic and there's all these people around you screaming and whatever at the start of the game, right before the national anthem, the lineups are going, I'm like, we are here in a capacity crowd.
That's every day with Kim Carmen.
And of course, that's my fault. That's not a sound engineer. That's not a producer's fault.
Ken, every show that I ever did with you that was not the Ken Carmen show with Anthony Lima.
But when
like
you,
every Brown pregame show. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would
we all make the mistake.
Yeah, 1,
but
2,
when
3.
Jim Nance.
You are live from the Dog Pound Club.
You got to start scurrying over to the level. So when Jim Nance does a Super Bowl, there is no bigger event every year in sports than a Super Bowl. When you look, Jim Nance is very comfortable and just like, All right, we're here, Tone. We're here.
And but I think
that's
he's very
all
good
it
at
is. That's all
very,
it is.
You know who is very good at welcoming people in was Who's Dick that? Enberg.
Yes.
Dick Enberg was real good at it.
It's funny you say that. I have the 1989 AFC Championship game, the Broncos in Mile High taking on Bernie Kosar. I've referenced this game before. It's because everybody has like that. When we had cassette, you guys don't have it now. You have DVRs, so you're not doing this.
Yeah.
But we would get bored in our youth. Our parents would have recorded a big game, and I had the drive, the fumble, and I had the 89. Those are the three games I had. I also had Magic Johnson in the All-Star game after he had HIV and he was the MVP.
All right.
Right? Maybe it's because no one would guard him because they didn't know what the deal was at the time. Oh, come on! That's true! That was true! Anyway.
Carl moving Malone. On.
But yeah, Carl
moving
Malone.
On.
So anyway, I'll never forget Dick Enberg did the whole, you know, open, got everybody into it, and it was awesome. It was awesome. So I used to do that while on the school bus. I would do the whole thing. Not like, you know, you are looking live, mm-hmm. because that was Musburger, and there was nobody better at that than recreating that at the college campuses. But I had a whole spiel to welcome everybody in, and it was always comparing and contrasting.
Back.
It was always the Mile High City versus the Blue Collar. And you would set it up, and I still get chills thinking about it, and nobody does that anymore. Nobody cares about the opens.
Joey, back before when we did the schedule game every year before we were forced to do it, and then we didn't want to do it anymore, but we're not forced to do it anymore. Imagine that. I love the guy, but that was the one thing. It's like, God, why are you making me do this? I used to love doing the CBS Open. I used to love doing the CBS, playing the mm-hmm. thing, and do it because there was the lead-up of the backstory, and then, like, you could always imagine, like, the doon, 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 and then it would do like that. You'd do the open, and then it would do the final crescendo, the dun, 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 dun. And they'd say, CBS, next, dun, 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 dun. And then the opening shot from the blimp, and it would be going over the stadium. And always the playoffs,
cavernous.
And they're waving the white towels.
Yes.
They're waving the white towels. And it's like, welcome to Huntington Bank Field, which, I mean, soon enough will be the stadium at Rick Park. Which you want to get one more.
Here are the outside windows. Here's the roof.
You want to get one more playoff game in there before we move to Brook Park, just because
you know that's going
to
happen. You know the Browns are going to have an epic playoff win at home where the fans were the difference, and everybody says the elements and the fans were the difference. And then the next year we're going to be in this very antiseptic dome, corporatized dome.
But you know what? It, not to change the subject on a dime, everybody is. I've seen Daryl's social media, and I was like, good God, that many right off the top, like Tennessee, Kansas City eventually. But Washington is going to, but Buffalo's like the only one that's
they're
like, nope,
out.
We're going to leave it open. I don't know if the Patriots are going to get a new stadium anytime soon. I mean, it feels like they just built Gillette. So, but I mean, I think to a lot of Browns fans, it feels like we just built Huntington Bank Field. Yeah. You got anything else on the play-by-play, guys?
No. So, Joey, we're looking forward to working with you. We're very
can I call
excited.
You Joey Coors?
You absolutely can.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, let's just, you know, every day come in here with about 7 to 10 ideas that we can use and steal from you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Let me get on the mic here. All right. Joey, are you at all related to 4-time gold medalist, former Polish race walker, Robert Korzenowski?
Whoa. Do we have Olympian blood on our hands here?
Oh, wow, that's fun.
Not that I know of, but honestly wish I was. That sounds pretty cool.
Looks
would
like
you
a
ever
ass.
Make it up and say that you were related to that man?
Yeah, just tell people.
And then do a whole podcast.
It's your namesake.
For future reference, yeah, I would.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, Joey, thank you very much. You see, new bye. Employee.
Say goodbye, Joey.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem, Joey.
Baptism by fire.
You're very
over
welcome.
Here.
Thank you for joining
That's
us.
That's how you get fully indoctrinated into the show.
Okay. Anything else?
I was going to ask you if we have to forever say that going into next year, Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson are now ahead in the pecking order of superstars in the Eastern Conference ahead of Donovan Mitchell. Something to think about for tomorrow.
I will answer that on the air tomorrow.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.